just verbs and kind of really doing, this is almost like a kind of a, just a survey through Proverbs. And it's hard to know, especially in regards to, you know, if a man's going to preach through a book, you know, going verse by verse or section by section through a book or whatever, it's kind of hard to know what to do with Proverbs because there's so many topics and so many verses that deal with the same thing, same different topics over and over. So it's almost seems like you could go through Proverbs different ways. I mean, you could go through verse by verse, or you could kind of arrange it topically and just hit, you know, every topic dealt with in Proverbs. And I mean, it's just, I don't know, there's just a lot of different ways you could do it. But I guess in one sense, what we've kind of done with this series dealing with common sense is just kind of take kind of a survey through Proverbs and deal really with the main topic or the main subject matter of Proverbs, which is common sense. Because, you know, the sense that the wisdom that God gives man, the understanding we get from the Word of God, that is common sense. There is no common sense outside of the wisdom and the understanding that you get from the Lord and from His Word. And so I would say that common sense is probably the main subject, and it deals with different specifics regarding that, but common sense is kind of what it's all under the umbrella of. And so I pray that it'll be a blessing and be a help to us. And so that's kind of what we're doing. That's what we'll be doing this morning. Now, you look through Proverbs and you'll find that in what we've already dealt with the causes and sources of common sense. It comes from the Lord, comes from His Word, comes from His wisdom. God embodies wisdom. And so there's no wisdom, no understanding in terms of the ways of the world, how the world operates and how to be successful in the world. And not even successful in the business sense, but be successful in life, in the things of God. There's no way to have that. There's no way to have an understanding of that outside of the Lord and His Word. And so He is the main source, the main cause of common sense. And then you look through Proverbs and we dealt with the cautions and commands that God gave through Solomon throughout Proverbs. This morning I'm going to look at some things regarding the comforts and conveniences of common sense. You've heard it said, and I've said it even in preaching this, that common sense is not so common anymore. And the reason it's not common is because the Word of God's not common in people's hearts. And the fear of God is not common in society, and even not just in the American society, but around the world. It's just not a common thing. It's becoming less and less common. And as those things become less and less common in people's hearts and minds, so will common sense. And what you're also finding that is running right alongside that, right alongside the decline in common sense, the decline in the fear of God and the understanding of His Word, what's running right alongside that is less comfort in people's lives and less convenience in people's life. Because common sense, the wisdom and understanding that God gives, it brings about certain comforts and conveniences in our life that we do not have otherwise. Being a person of common sense, a person of understanding, will bring about specific comforts and specific conveniences in your life that you will find nowhere else. Money cannot buy it. Friends cannot buy it. Popularity cannot buy it. Success in the world, in the business realm, cannot buy it. Only common sense regarding the things of God, understanding and wisdom from the Word of God, can provide these specific comforts and conveniences in our life. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, the comforts and conveniences of common sense. The things that they bring into our life. So what are the blessings? What blessings does common sense bring into our lives? That is the question we are going to answer this morning. Now, I've got more points to this message and this outline than any other message I've ever preached. I've got 12 points, and this is not even exhaustive. There's probably more that could be said, more comforts, more conveniences that you could probably find in Proverbs. But these are just a few that I came up with looking through Proverbs, 12 different comforts and conveniences that you will only get through common sense from the Word of God. I'm not going to preach them all this morning. I'm going to preach 6 of them this morning, and I'll give you the other 6 tonight. So don't have a heart attack. We won't be here all day, Lord willing. All right, we will take a little break and then we'll get the rest of them, okay? You can only digest so much, amen? And so anyways, let's start looking at some of these. And again, this is kind of just a survey. And I'll tell you what we're going to do this morning. I'm not going to have you stand as we read or anything, because what we're going to do is go through Proverbs. And I'm going to read a verse or a couple verses and then just make a few comments, and then read another verse and a couple verses, make a few comments, and really just let the Bible speak to us. Amen. That's really what preaching's all about anyways. That's what helps us anyways, is just letting God and letting His Word do the talking. Amen. And so that's what I want to strive to do. I want to rely heavily on my notes this morning and just strive to really just let the Word of God do the talking, let God do the talking to us. And as we read these verses, I want you to really pay close attention to them. I want you to meditate on them. I want you to really think about and wrap your mind around what God is telling us in His Word so that you can have common sense. Amen. Listen, without common sense in this day, common sense that is rooted in the wisdom of God's Word, you will lose your mind in these last days. You will lose your mind. All right? And so these things are very, very important. All right. First of all, the comforts and conveniences of common sense. What are these things that are produced by common sense? First of all, the first one that I see, we find here in Proverbs chapter 12. And the first comfort or convenience would be commendation and charm. Okay? And I'll explain what I'm talking about. Look in verse chapter 12. Look in verse number 8. Look at what he says here. It says that a man shall be commended according to his wisdom. But he that has of a perverse heart shall be despised. So a man shall be commended. He's going to be commended according to his wisdom. Also, look in the very next chapter, look in chapter 13 and look in verse number 15. Look at what he says. He says, good giveth what? Favor. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. So one of the first comforts or conveniences that is provided in our life that nothing else can provide other than common sense of the Word of God, wisdom of the Word of God, nothing else will provide this in the way God's Word and wisdom will provide it, and that is commendation and charm. That is commendation of others that a fool will not enjoy. The word commended there in chapter 12, verse 8 that we read, that word means to shine, or it means to praise or to celebrate. So a man will shine, the Bible says. You'll be able to pick him out in a crowd. He will stick out in the crowd. The Bible says he will be praised. He will be celebrated because of his wisdom. Now, if you would strive to buy wisdom and sell it not, to buy understanding and sell it not, if you would strive to obtain wisdom and understanding, if you and I would strive to get common sense rooted in the Word of God, the Bible says we would be commended. That's one of the blessings of common sense. That's just one of the blessings of God's wisdom. Another word connected to that word commended is the word marriage, which I thought was interesting. Because Lord knows we're going to need common sense if we're going to make a marriage work. Ain't that right? Amen. Lord knows, I mean, we're going to need that. I mean, really, and that really is, I mean, that's a very valid thing. It's going to take some wisdom from God for a man, for us men to run our homes the way God would have us to. And it's going to take some wisdom from God for ladies to manage the home and be submitted to their husband, obedient to their husbands, all those things that God would have us to. It's going to take that. And it's going to come through common sense. It's not going to come through Dr. Phil and Dr. Spock and Oprah and all the philosophies of the world and all the marriage counseling of the worldly psychologists and all. It's going to come from godly wisdom and common sense that is rooted in this book. Amen? So he says you will be commended. But then the next verse we read in 13, chapter 13, verse 15, he says, favor, good understanding giveth favor. It means that the word favor means, well, it means favor. You will be favored. But it doesn't just mean that. It also means, it speaks of grace. It means grace or charm or elegance or acceptance or pleasantness. Now you give me one of those words that ought not describe God, the life of God's people. Amen. We all ought to be people that are people full of grace and charm and elegance and acceptance and pleasantness. The Bible says that a man of understanding and wisdom, common sense, will find that type of favor. It'll be the type of person that whenever the world, a lost person is around, they just can't help but say, man, I really like that person. I really like that guy. Man, I really am always refreshed by being around. You know, that really ought to be the way the world describes us. They ought to. I know there's conviction in the heart of lost people when they're around someone who's living for God, and I know that it's, you know, the way our lifestyle convicts the world. If we're living for God, it's going to convict the world. But really, there ought to also be an element of when lost people are around us and they're in and among us and they're in the church or around God's people, or they work alongside you, or they're your neighbor. There ought to be an element of them just having, at the end of the day, have to say, man, that's just a good person. And they're just a good, I mean, they refresh me. And there ought to be something inside them that sees our life and our families and the way we live. And not, it ought to be something that they really long for in us. Amen. The Bible says common sense will provide that. Will provide favor. Favor. Now, common sense causes you to reap favor from others. By the way, it also changes our behavior. It gives balance to our life and brings about grace and maturity. And the Bible says pleasantness in our life. Hey, go back here and sit with Mom, okay? Why don't you go back here? Come on, hurry up. Move around a little too much for the front row, bud. There we go. There you go. Thanks, buddy. Move around a little bit more back here and be all right. Amen. But that is something that is provided with common sense. Commendation and charge. You know, by the way, all the good things that we don't serve God necessarily just for what He can do for us. We understand that. But you know, the goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. It's all the good things that God does for us and can provide for us. And there's never anything in the Word of God that you would apply to yourself that won't bring about good in your life. That won't bring about more joy or more peace or give you a better life. There's nothing that you and I would ever apply, no teaching, no command in the Word of God that we would ever apply that would make us miserable. That's just not going to happen. I mean, if you obey the Word of God, that's what the flesh thinks. And that's what the flesh will tell you, and that's what the devil and the world will tell you. But listen, the truth is, if we're walking with God and we will love God, listen, if you read your Bible and you apply everything God tells you to apply and obey every command He tells you to obey, it's not going to bring about hardship and problems. It's going to bring about grace and maturity and stability in your life and bring about peace in your heart and give you more joy and give you more liberty and more freedom. Oh, that's what the Word of God's going to do. God's not trying to be hard and mean to us. He's trying to bless us. Amen. This is what common sense, wisdom from God will do. It'll bring about commendation and charge. You will be commended and favored if you will seek wisdom and understanding. Common sense. Number two, it brings about control of self. Self-control. Good understanding. Common sense will cause you to control yourself. And boy, we can see just in that statement that common sense is certainly lacking. Real Bible wisdom and understanding is certainly lacking because there's so little self-control. Society in the world pushes the, you know, if it feels good, do it generation, right? I mean, that started back in the 60s with the hippies, you know, and the free love movement and all that stuff. And boy, that's carried right on into where we are now, that people only seem to want to do what they feel like doing. Amen. And that's in church people too. That's crept into churches where we only serve God if we feel like serving God. But listen, I tell you what real wisdom, real godly common sense will do. It'll cause you to do what you know is right to do instead of what you just feel like doing. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 19. Matter of fact, before you turn there, we're right here at Proverbs 12, looking of chapter 11. Flip back one page to chapter 11 and look in verse 12. Proverbs 11, and look in verse number 12, says, "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. All right. Now look in chapter 14. Verse number 29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. All right, now look in chapter 17. Verse number 28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Chapter 19, look in verse number 11. The Bible says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. It says the discretion of a man deferred. That lets me know that a man that's always flying off the handle and always losing his temper and controlled by his temper, the Bible lets us know that that man is missing some understanding somewhere. He's missing some godly common sense somewhere. And boy, we all probably are guilty of losing our temper from time to time, so we just have to say, oh me, ain't that right? Because the fact is, I mean, that is the truth of it all. A man who has understanding, a man who has biblical wisdom and common sense, the Bible says he defers his anger. He is self-controlled. Do you realize that that is the common denominator in every one of those verses that we just read in some form or fashion? The common denominator in all of them is self-control. Be it deferring wrath or deferring anger or holding our peace. That just means to keep your mouth shut. That's what holding your peace is. It's not saying what you really want to say. Amen. These people that talk about, well, I just speak my mind. I just say if I think it, I just say. Well, listen to me. That's not godly common sense there. You lacking some common sense. A lot of people are willing to give everybody a piece of their mind, and they ought to be careful, because a lot of people that always want to give everybody a piece of their mind hadn't got too much to give, according to the Bible. Ain't got much there to give. Amen. The Proverbs lets us know that really the ones who are silent, the ones who use their words less, the ones who are able to hold their peace and not speak when they want to, those are really the ones that actually have the most to give, according to the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, but the times in my life where I have gotten to the point where I'm angry enough to finally just let somebody have it and let them really know what I'm thinking, those are really the times I regret the most. I don't regret what I think I should have said to somebody. It's the words that I did say that I wish I could get back. That's what I typically regret. And I don't know about you, but that's how it is with me. Amen. See, the words that we put out there, I mean, those things, we can never get those words back. Isn't that right? And so common sense or understanding or discretion, it will help give a person self-control. Self-control in their words, in their anger, in their life, in every area of life. It's going to give you self-control. It helps a man to defer his anger, the Bible says. Now, that word defer, it means to prolong, or to slow, or to make long. That's what deferreth means. I read this and I thought it was interesting. That word is also used to describe a person that lengthened the cords on their tent. Back in the Old Testament times, they'd put those tents up and they would have those cords. They would use that word, that Hebrew word there, to describe lengthening the cords of those tents that they'd put up, you know. And that's the way he described what wisdom and understanding, Bible common sense, will do for you in your anger. It will help you to defer your anger. It will help you to put off what you say and what you want to say, or put off doing what you want to do, letting yourself cool down a little bit. You know, that's the best thing we really could ever do whenever we're mad about something, or whenever we've got something we're really thinking about saying. Or hey, let me just put this in right here. Whenever we're thinking about posting something on social media, just throwing that in just to help all of us. You know, the best thing we could do is give it a little time and think about it and wait for it and just let it sink in a little bit. Make sure we really know what we're about to do. Because whether it's saying it to our spouse or saying it to somebody on the job or reacting in a certain way or putting it out there on the internet, you can't get it back, man, once it's out there. And you certainly can't get it back whenever it's on the internet. You'll never get it back. It's out. Once it's out there, it is out there permanently. Even if you delete it, it can still go back and be found. It can still go back and be found. And so what wisdom, understanding, common sense will do is it will cause us to control ourselves. Not say everything we want to say and do everything we want to do. And so a person with understanding, he puts off or he slows his anger. It's his glory, the Bible says, to be patient and overlook an offense. And that's so backwards from society now. People seem to glory in going back and telling the story of how they told somebody off. And that's what everybody glories. Yeah, I just let him have it. Yeah, he came at me and he said this, and this is what I said back to him. Or this is what I did to him. I mean, I just ran back and decked him right there, you know, whatever. Like, that's what people glory in, isn't it? Like, going back and telling the story of how they really just let somebody have it, you know. But the Bible says a man of understanding, a man with real Bible common sense, he don't glory in losing his temper. He doesn't glory in hauling off and decking somebody or letting somebody have it or giving somebody what little piece of a mind he's got. He glories in the ability to hold it in and have patience and overlook an offense that may have been done to him. Now, only biblical wisdom would give that to you. This world is not going to give it to you. Sitcoms on TV are not going to glorify that. Your friends are not going to glorify that. People at the job, they're not going to glorify that. Listen, they're not going to glorify overlooking an offense from the boss on your job. No, what's everybody wanting to do? Everybody's wanting to like have that big moment where they have enough and they just quit and they go in the boss's office and just tell them off and tell them what they think and then turn and walk out and slam the door behind them. That's what the world glorifies, right? That mentality, right? You know, just letting everybody on the job or letting the boss. But you know what biblical understanding will do? It'll cause you to glory in your patience and meekness. And you know why you can glory in that? Is because you know you've pleased the Lord. See, wisdom and Bible understanding, that's what it gives us. We're looking to please the Lord, not man. And so we would glory in our ability to be patient. But see, Bible common sense is that's the only place you'd get that. I read this and I thought it was interesting and pretty applicable here, and I was going to read it to you. It says, a servant of Thomas Jefferson, he stole some things from Thomas Jefferson. It was one of his servants, and he stole some stuff from him. And they were what he stole were 8 penny nails is what he sold. When the servant was confronted about the matter, he felt terrible and was terrified. He asked Jefferson for forgiveness, and it was given. The servant could have been scourged, which was a typical punishment in that time. You have a servant or a slave or whatever that you know steals whatever, they whip them, you know, scourge them. That was a typical punishment in that time. But Jefferson rather admonished him to never do it again and send him back to work. Now, because of Jefferson's forgiveness, his graciousness, the response of the slave was to seek the Lord. That slave found the Lord. He was saved. And all the servants on Jefferson's estate, they loved him dearly because Jefferson loved and cared for them. He was a man with common sense. It doesn't always make sense to necessarily like punish somebody or punish our kids or whatever to the full extent of the law, you know. It doesn't always make sense to do that. It doesn't make good common sense to do that. Sometimes it makes more sense to show grace and to show mercy. Sometimes it's good to take an opportunity to say, well, listen, this is what Jesus did for us, so this is what I'm going to do for you. And they use that as a teaching. But see, only Bible common sense would do that because Bible common sense helps us to have self-control. Amen. That's something that it will provide for you. Nothing else provide. Number three, self-control or common sense will cause us to be circumspect. It will cause circumspection, provide circumspection or caution or foresight in our life. Circumspection, caution, or foresight. Look in Proverbs 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and look in verse number 3. It says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man, a wise man, he foreseeth the evil. He doesn't just see the evil. If you see the evil, then you see the evil that's at hand. But he doesn't just see the evil that's at hand. He foreseeth. He seeth sees the evil that's down the road that I hadn't even got there yet. He sees the problems that could come from different things. The Bible says that he hides himself. In other words, he prepares himself. In other words, those with common sense, Bible wisdom and understanding, they are cautious and circumspect, and they're able to see things that the fool doesn't see. Not in the future. See, they're not only concerned about the past and the present. That's what everybody's concerned about. It doesn't take a wise man to be concerned about the past and the present. Everybody's concerned about it. That's natural, you know. People are worried about what's going on right now. And worried about what happened yesterday. That's what everybody's thinking about. But I tell you what a wise man does, a man with real good common sense. He's concerned about the past and the present, but he's also looking down the road, too. He's thinking about what is ahead, and he's trying to prepare for the future. See, the prudent man, the Bible says, he considers future problems, not just the this one thing may bring about in his life, or this one thing may bring about in his family, or a wise pastor is thinking about what this one thing might bring about in his church, not just right now, but not even just tomorrow, but possibly next week or next month or next year or even years down the road. Amen. That's what wisdom and understanding, Bible common sense, that's what it will cause us to do. You know, a lot of people make a real mess of their lives and a real mess of their families and a lot of people have made real messes in churches by not considering what one given decision would do down the road. They're only thinking about what's going to do right now. What's going to do today? What I want today? What we need today? It sees the evil. The wise man sees the evil, the Bible says. That word evil, that is danger or distress or misery or calamity. And what he does is whenever he sees those things coming, he prepares and avoids those things. I'll give you one example. And we had one family that was visiting us here and they left over this. And that's all right. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I can't take a verse and tell you that drums in and of themselves are sinful. I mean, they are what they are. I mean, I can't even tell you that you couldn't play. I couldn't take a Bible and show where you couldn't play drums for the glory of God, I guess. But it's really, really hard to. And the reason I don't want them here is not because of what they might do today, but because of what might come down the road, down the week, down the years on in the future, you know. I mean, that's just one example, you know, just one illustration that you know, some people have got them. And I've got really, really good friends who are good men, and they love God, and they've got good churches that, you know, that have them in their church. And I mean, you know, that's their prerogative, you know. I can't say that they're necessarily out of the will of God. I mean, they still sing old hymns, and they're still going the old-time way, but they're doing it today. They're doing it right now. I mean, stuff like that just seems to open the floodgates, open the doors to different things. And so just foreseeing that, we want to try to avoid it, you know what I'm saying, as much as possible. Now, I know there's balance in all that. I mean, you could take that to the real, real extreme to say, well, I mean, you know, as a man, if I wear dress shoes that have a little bit of a heel on them, I mean, what's that lead to? Am I going to be wearing 6-inch heels down the road? You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We all know that's probably not going to happen, but I mean, you understand what I'm saying. I mean, you got to have balance in that. You know what I'm saying? You know how you know the difference? It takes wisdom. It's common sense, understanding, Bible, common sense. And I'm not saying I'm right in all that stuff. I may not be. God definitely going to straighten me out on a lot of things when I stand before Him. There's no doubt about that. But while we're here, we want to strive for common sense. We want to strive for wisdom and understanding. And what wisdom and understanding and Bible common sense will do is it will cause you to look down the road. Listen, there's not a lot of common sense in a parent that would just give a child free rein on a cell phone with you know, unfiltered internet and unfiltered, you know, just unrestrained, you know, access to everything out there. There's not a lot of common sense in that. Because, yeah, they might be all right with it today. They might be all right with it right now while you're standing there. But just telling you, man, the devil is after. Listen, there's not a lot of common sense to, I'd say, any man or anybody having just unrestrained, unfiltered internet access and always in our pocket and it's always available and it's always there. There's not a lot of wisdom and understanding and Bible common sense in that. And so I'm just simply saying, not because of what might happen now, but because of what might happen down the road. Common sense prepares us for life's problems, but I tell you what Bible common sense will do. More than preparing for what's going to come down the road in terms of life problems, it helps us to have the understanding, the wisdom to prepare for eternity. So that's what real biblical common sense helps us to realize. See, you keep your head in this Bible and you strive for God's wisdom instead of man's wisdom. You strive for God's understanding rather than man's understanding. You'll realize that listen, man, this whole coronavirus thing, though everybody's scared to death, you'll realize that, listen, it's going to be coronavirus, it's going to be something else that kills me. Everybody in society, or so many people in society, seem to be just like frozen with fear over this thing. There's people out there not leaving their houses. There's people living in their house with their spouse, and they're social distancing from each other and wearing masks in their house. And I actually saw an article, and I am not kidding about this. I saw an article the other day about this husband and wife that this thing was about to cause their home to split up because he refused to take his mask off ever. He was sleeping at night with a mask on. And they were going to like marriage counseling and stuff. And I mean, this was a mainstream media outlet with this article because he refused. And she just could not understand like what the problem is. Well, I'll tell you what it is. Fear has taken hold of people's hearts and they're not thinking with common sense, man. Common sense would tell us, listen, I mean, let's be cautious, let's be careful. I mean, let's do what we can. And if you feel like you need to get vaccinated or whatever, I mean, do that. I mean, if that's what you think you need to do, we need to make our own choice and all those things. And common sense tells us to do that. But it also tells us that, listen, I could either quit living now or quit living when that Mack truck hits me. Because that might be what kills you. Amen. Amen. Listen, I don't know about you, but I, based on what I see in the Scriptures, I'm not worried about living forever. Amen. I'm not trying to live forever. I'm trying to live while I'm here. I'm trying to really live and do something for God while I'm here, because the Bible's already told me that my life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanisheth away. And the Bible's told me that, you know, He said, what is your life? And we already know that eternity is certain and that death is certain. Whether it's coronavirus or a car wreck or a house fire or cancer or whatever it is, we know that it is certain. And so based on the wisdom that God gives us, what we ought to be doing, instead of huddling up somewhere trying to live forever, we ought to be getting out, pounding the pavement, trying to do something for God while we're here. Common sense would tell you, listen, don't just prepare for the problems in this life. Prepare for what's going to come at the judgment. Amen. I get amazed at these parents that are, and it got talked about at this meeting here. Brother Will Allen, he you know, made reference to, you know, parents now, they're just always pushing their kids into everything. Just pushing. Push them into sports. Push them into education. Push them into their career. Just push. But you don't see many parents really pushing their kids into the things of God. And not always keeping the mission field before them, or keeping the ministry before them, or keeping the work of God before them, and just pushing and encouraging them and promoting all that stuff. They're pushing all these other worldly heroes and carnal things and just pushing on, but you don't see them push them towards the things of God. And we all know that God's got to call somebody to those things, but I tell you right now, listen, I don't want my kids, my boys' heroes to be Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods and some ball player covered in tattoos, some hooligan that never even, you know, went to college, just went straight to play, you know, sports. And so now everybody worships them because they're a big athlete. I mean, I don't want those people to be my kids' heroes. I don't want to be some big career businessman or someone that's made a bunch of money. I don't want them to be my kids' heroes. I want God's men, God's people to be their heroes. Listen, real heroes, they don't wear capes. They carry King James Bibles. Amen. And that's what I want to promote, and that's what I want to push my kids into. That's what I want to push because looking down the road, there's a really, 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 really slim chance that they ever become a professional ball player. I mean like a 0.00000000, you know, 4% chance that they'll ever become a professional ball player, or a really slim chance they'd ever become the richest person in the world, or there's a really slim chance that they'll, you know, ever do a lot of these things, but there is a 100% chance that they're going to stand before God and give an account. And I don't want to stand with four people and promoted that in my children's life, and promoted that in my family's life, and promoted that among the before the church, and pushed our young people, and pushed you, and preached to you, and challenged you to go with God, sell out, and serve God with your life. Give Him everything you've got. Forget all this other junk that's going to burn up whenever Jesus comes. Listen, invest in something that's forever. Amen. But you know what tells us that? You know what will tell you that and make you understand that? Common sense. It makes no sense to lay up treasures on this earth. It makes no sense. Listen, Jesus said, is life not more than raiment? Is life not more than these temporal things? Common sense. What about clarity? How about things that's provided by common sense? Clarity in your life is one of them. I'm going to give you these last three real quick and I'm going to be done. But look in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Look in verse number 13 of Proverbs chapter 10. He said, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. So he said, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. All right, look in verse number 23. He said, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. That's a fool, they just do mischief. They just do stupid stuff just for fun. They cause trouble just for fun. That's the problem with most of these guys in jail that we're preaching to. That lifestyle they're living, they're just doing it for fun. He said, a fool does that. But he says, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. All right, flip over to chapter 12 and look in verse number 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Somebody that you can't talk to, that you can't get them to see it any other way than the way they see it, the Bible doesn't say they're a wise man. The Bible says he's a fool. Now, it's one thing to be settled on the Word of God and settled on what you... That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. It's foolishness. Look in chapter 19. And look in verse number 20. Chapter 19, verse 20. He says, hear counsel. There it is again. Hear counsel. Listen. Hear counsel and receive instruction. that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Don't just only see things the way you see it. Listen to what somebody else would say. Hear instruction. Hear counsel. By the way, you got to hear it from good counsel. Good counselors. Look in chapter 20. Look in verse 5. He said, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. See, a person with common sense, Bible common sense, he gives counsel or advice that's wise, and it provides clarity to those that he's giving counsel to. On the flip side of that, someone who has Bible common sense, wisdom and understanding, also seeks and receives advice and good that provides clarity. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got a handful of people, both men and women, that on any given topic or any given circumstance I'm dealing with, that I will call up if I'm facing something or I got a question or something, and I'll ask them about it, use them as a soundboard just to bounce it off of them, see what comes back to get their thoughts, because I view them as wise people, wise counselors. And you know, we ought to all have some wise counselors in them, not wicked counselors. Listen, you need to examine somebody's life and examine their house. Listen, you don't want to get counsel regarding raising your children from somebody who's lost their kids to the world. That's not the person you want to go to. You don't want to get counsel regarding your finances from your uncle who can't pay his bills. I mean, that just seems to make common sense, don't it? I mean, that just makes sense, right? I mean, I don't want to necessarily get pastoral advice from men who have, you know, never successfully pastored a good church, you know? That just makes sense, right? I mean, I don't want to get Christian advice from someone who's not a good Christian. I don't view them as a good Christian. He said in Psalm chapter 1, blessed, the blessed. On the job that's been divorced 3 times. I mean, You and your husband been into it, you know, and you go to work, and I mean, you've kind of had your day off start off kind of rough because y'all been into it a little bit that morning and said some things, you know, that you know, just out of anger or whatever, and you get to work, and, you know, somebody can sense it like, hey, what's going on? You having a bad day? And you kind of just let them in on what's been going on in your life. I tell you what she'll tell you. She said, well, I wouldn't put up with that. This is what I would tell him. This is what I'd tell him to do. This is what I'd say to him. This, that, and other. Okay, well, you know, you just be real careful about taking that advice. You know who you take marital advice from, marital counsel from? You take marital counsel from that person. And their house, they're spirit-filled people, and their house is full of peace and joy, and they love God, and they've got a good family and got a good home. That's the people I want to take counsel on those things about from too. Amen. I don't want to take counsel from the ungodly. Take counsel from wise people. But a wise person will also give counsel. And the counsel that they give, it provides clarity. Like drawing water out, drawing out water in a well, someone with common sense, they'll draw out the wisdom from others by asking questions, seeking advice. See, common sense gives wisdom to listen and get more wisdom. That's what it'll do. Number 5, very quickly, it provides conservation and care. You can just write this verse down. You don't have to turn over to it. But in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11, he said, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So conservation, Bible common sense will conserve you. See, we take precautions to protect ourselves from danger, don't we? I don't know about you, but since all that stuff happened last week in town, I mean, I've been keeping my pistol closer to me. Amen. Amen. I got my concealed carry a long time ago, and I carry most of the time anyways, concealed anyways. But I've been keeping it even closer since all that because you know what we do? We take precautions when there's, you know, the possibility of danger. We do that. Parents, we do that for our kids. We take efforts to protect our physical danger. That's why we don't let them play in the road. Now, these precautions, they protect our bodies. But you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to protect our souls. He wants us to protect our hearts, our spirits. God, common sense will preserve you and keep you. The word preserve means to guard, to watch and protect, to restrain, to beware, or be guarded. It means to keep yourself from doing something that you know would be harmful. Common sense would keep you from watching certain things because you know it's going to be harmful to you, ultimately. Common sense keep you from doing certain things or hanging out with certain people or spending time in certain crowds because you know it will be harmful. It will give you wisdom to avoid decisions that you'll regret later and will ruin your life down the road. It gives discernment to see trouble coming and to be on guard for it. It gives discernment to help to avoid people that would get you in trouble or make trouble for you. Nearly every one of those guys in jail that we preach to every Tuesday night, they all, the ones that are about to get out, nearly every one of them talk about moving to a different location when they get out than where they grew up. Ain't that right? They all talk about that. You want to know why? Because of the bad influences. Because somewhere along the road of life, they threw in with the wrong crowd. They didn't have common sense. And they just went with whatever crowd that would embrace them with open arms, and they went with that crowd. Instead of examining the life that they were going, the path they were going to, they just threw in. And now that crowd is probably what's caused most of the problems in their life. But you know what Bible common sense calls you to step back and evaluate it and stay away from and avoid certain people and certain situations, certain things. Therefore, conserving you, protecting you. Last of all, it provides contentment. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Happy is the man. Contentment. The age-old question, where is happiness? Where are you going to find happiness? Well, according to the Bible, contentment, happiness, they come from one place. That's common sense, wisdom, understanding, rooted in the Word of God. Now, why is that? Why is that the only place we can really find true happiness? Not, I mean, you can find temporary happiness other places, but real, true, deep, deep-rooted, foundational happiness. Why is this the only place we can find it? Because they help make good choices that bring joy in our life. They help us make good choices that help us to prepare for things like eternity and prepare down the road. And these things bring peace and joy and all those things in our life. And they help us to avoid decisions that bring sorrow in our life. Bible common sense does that. See, the person with common sense will make the Lord the most important thing in their life. The person with common sense will do that. Because, see, it does not even make logical sense to leave the Lord out of your life. It doesn't even make logical sense to even make the Lord a part of your life. That doesn't make good common sense. Good wisdom and understanding, Bible common sense, calls you to make God the central focus of your life. Common sense, good sense, would never cause someone to move off to some foreign place, some foreign state, some foreign land over a job. Without even considering what church they're going to. Common sense would never do that to somebody. Listen, the people that I know that have done that and have never found a church, listen, they're all messed up. They're miserable. Their families are busted up, man. Nearly everyone I've ever known that's done something like that, that's where they're at this morning. Common sense didn't tell them to do that. Amen. Common sense never tell you to promote things in your family or your children's lives that would leave them down a road of heartache down there. No, common sense would tell you, listen, make God the number one thing in your life and throw off this other stuff. Forget all that junk, man. That stuff ain't going to last forever. That stuff will be over, and then you're going to have to start over and figure out what you're going to do in your life. Listen, just throw them with God, and you'll never have to start over. Amen? You can be further down the road for God than I ever was. You know, good Bible common sense will do that. Common sense is the only place to really have true happiness, because it'll make us throw in with God.
Amen. Let's all stand on our feet. We're going to pray. Brother Ernest is going to get us a hymn. We're going to have a time of invitation. Father, I thank you for this day and this service. And Lord, I thank you for helping us with the message this morning. I pray that you'll take it and use it. And I pray that you drive it deep in our hearts. Lord, I know that, Lord, common sense, getting wisdom, understanding, Lord, it's not a one-time thing. It's not something we go to an altar and find. Lord, we're just all at once, Lord, you give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, it's something that must be sought. It must, something we must strive after. But Lord, at an altar, it can be a place at an altar, Lord, we make the commitment to do so. Lord, we could maybe not get all the understanding there is to get at an altar, but we could make the commitment to strive for it at an altar. Lord, we could come to an altar and we could commit ourselves to making you the central focus of our life, that we might have understanding and wisdom and be wise, make wise choices in our life. Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning. Lord, I know you didn't have us preach this message by mistake. Lord, certainly there's somebody here that's at a fork in the road. Lord, they're at a cross tie in the road, and Lord, they're making decisions. They got things going on in life, probably multiple people. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to seek wisdom from you, seek understanding, seek common sense in every decision we make in life. Lord, knowing that that's the only way to have true happiness, true fulfillment, true contentment in life. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone that's here, Lord, that's facing things you've already dealt with their heart. Lord, I pray they'd find themselves on an altar this morning, seeking you and seeking your wisdom, Lord, making the commitment, Lord, to go the way of God with their life. Lord, I pray that you just help us have your perfect will and way. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.